can't even begin to tell you what this week has been like for me. I have accrued stories that I will be telling for years. But one thing that I can do is I can go ahead and show you at least one of the stories. Proclamation that was received this Tuesday declaring that in Fairfax City, this is Pride Month. So this is a big deal. If you'll join me now in a moment of prayer, please. Spirit of surprise and possibility, magnificent mystery, God of growth, great gardener, we may not always recognize you or see your work in our lives. In fact, we seldom do. But open our eyes. Help us to perceive. Help us to grow up, to grow through our days, to be agents of change, touching the lives of those around us, bringing spice and seasoning and sanctuary to their lives. And help us not only just to care for the environment, but to know that we are a part of it. Help us to grow through confusion, to create new life from wilderness. For even now we know there are seeds still within us. Grant us an awareness of your presence, sowing seeds, moving among us, within us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to the fathers among us, biological, step, father, and the father figures who lead, shape, and mentor others, regardless of any particular gender identity. I also wish to recognize and thank the single mothers who live and work among us. We are grateful for your contributions to the community and your presence here. Now, on the other side of that greeting, we all have a father, whether we knew them well or not, whether they treated us well or not. The variances in father-child relationships, the sheer multiplicity of relationships from awesome to abusive, make it impossible to generalize the role. Now, I was fortunate to have had a wonderful relationship with my father. June 20th this week will mark 10 years since his death, and I still miss him as much as ever. I give thanks for his presence in my life and for all the many seeds that he planted in my heart and in my soul. Some have grown into strong and deeply rooted anchors with roots that I still occasionally trip over. Some are slow growers that I am still discovering within me. But I also know of many others for whom the word father is not a very good word. It's a word of pain and bad memories, imperfections, a person with whom they have not and may never make peace with. As a result, Father's Day can be a painful reminder of a lost or broken relationship. In fact, I know of one family down in the Shenandoah Valley for whom gunplay was a standard form of greeting between grandfather, father, and son. Now, my friend who was the son simply said it was a long story, and he told me they almost never hit each other. But how could I possibly understand the complexities of his family or what Father's Day meant to him? With the image of him ducking and hunkering down behind a tree as he and his grandfather carefully approached his father's house. Now, some of the seeds that are planted within us, well, some are nut seeds. Seeds that grow up into nut trees. Some, like poison ivy, a constant irritant and difficult to eradicate. There are so many things in us that perhaps only God can see. Now, during our Sundays in Pride Month, we have explored the ways some family relationships can impact us. Frank reflected a little on his family and how their view of the word pride impacted him, and that some of the storms that we have survived are now passing, and he encouraged us to look for that rainbow. Last Sunday, we heard about Jesus' family calling him crazy. Crazy for following his calling, following his heart, and for following his passion for healing and for community. And they came to where he was to take him away. And yet he said, "Who is my family?" As he looked around him, this is my family. These are my brothers and sisters and siblings and mothers. Chosen family is a pillar of the LGBTIQ communities. So many in our own families have called us crazy. Crazy for following our calling, following our hearts, following our passion. And so we create family, chosen family. Of course, even in doing so, we still recognize the complexity and the imperfections of the family institution. There will indeed be people in your chosen family who may drive you crazy. Who will drive you crazy, I promise. But don't disown them. Don't do to them what has been done to you or all too many of our GLBT siblings. Adopt them, embrace them. The fact is, we're family, we're formed family, we're kin. And while the world may look at us and call us crazy, they will never take us away. And they will never take us away from each other. Now, next Sunday, our last Sunday in Pride Month, we'll talk a little bit about faith. But we'll also offer a farewell community blessing to two long-term members, Jeannie and Jane, who have been a part of this community since 1987. Talk about faith. And finally, a commercial here for our summer sermon series. We're calling it Unsettled. A summer sermon series is designed to encourage you to come to church during the summer when it is very sometimes difficult to come. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at unsettled and what it means. So much around us does seem unsettled now. Our planet Earth, our nation, our weather. We'll follow that discomfort and we will reflect on the unsettled moments in the Bible and the moments when even God seems to be unsettled. Today's lectionary passage from the Gospel of Mark takes us back to the early ministry of Jesus. Jesus was teaching by the Sea of Galilee. He was telling stories. He was teaching in parables. Now, while teaching in such a way would become common in his later ministry, here there is still some newness and wonder to the method. Now, the words parable and parabola come from the same Greek root, meaning literally to throw side by side, to place side by side. And when you picture a parabola, it is a curved arc that moves around a fixed point, regularly coming near it, coming close to it, but never actually touching it. And so a parable is designed to make a point without touching it. Coming close, close enough to see and to feel, but without running into it. Without hitting you over the head with it, without colliding with it, that part is left up to the listener. So a parable is not a metaphor, simile, or allegory, although it shares some commonality with all of them. A good parable reveals and exposes a universal truth, and it does so without specifically being identified in the story. But here's the thing. Try to interpret a good parable. It's like a good joke. If you have to explain it, it loses its effectiveness as a joke. It ceases to be a joke. To explain a parable robs it of its intended impact and has the effect of destroying the very thing that makes it so powerful and provocative. A parable is most effective when it creates that spark of realization, that dawn of illumination and release of energy within the individual's mind. It is almost like haiku. It needs to be completed within the listener's thoughts. I can offer a wee example from a line in one of my favorite poets' poems, Merritt Malloy. Quote, "There are no strangers. There are only those we don't know yet and those we don't know anymore." So, in the verses leading up to this passage today, Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee and he was talking about scattering seeds, how birds get some of them and how others fall on bad soil, and yet how a few find a good place to grow and yield a great crop. When he had finished, he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." I mean, I can just see him in my mind's eye finishing with some sense of satisfaction, as one might finish a good joke. And then, well, crickets. When he was alone with his disciples, they asked him about these parables and what on earth he was doing. And he said, "To you has been given the mystery of the dominion of God, but everything comes in parables for others, that they may look but not perceive, listen but not understand." Now, I'm guessing that they looked at him blankly because he said something like, "Wait, don't you get it? If you don't get that, then how will you get anything? Anything that I'm talking about?" And he proceeds to dismantle the parable for them. And again, it's like taking apart a watch. When you do, it's no longer a watch. It no longer keeps time. So Jesus takes them through a few more parables, teaching them to learn in the manner in which he most often taught. Then we reach the passage that we hear today when Jesus is attempting to travel around the point that I think most miss completely. That is the realm of God, the place that is near, the place that is almost here, the place that it is now, the place that is close. Jesus often talked about the kingdom of God, sometimes also called the kingdom of heaven. And according to the scriptural teachings of Jesus, the dominion of God, the dominion of heaven, the realm of God is within or among people. It is approached through understanding, and it is entered through acceptance like a child, spiritual rebirth, and doing the will of God. The dominion of God is here and now among those who are ready for its arrival. You could call it enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment, being awake, transformation, being present. Because the realm of God is not like the world in which we exist, but it can be the realm in which we live. So Jesus is saying this thing, this realm of God is like a tiny thing, a tiny seed. And within that seed is life, life waiting to happen. Stored energy, just waiting to wake up when the conditions are right. And these things happen inside of us unseen without our even understanding how it's happening. Some seeds may take time to wake up within us, yet one day they surprise us with the fruit that they bear. And then this mustard seed, the seeds that grace our altar this morning, if you look at them, they look like tiny little BBs, very, very small. Almost something that would escape our notice completely. We might not even recognize them as seeds. Can you feel where Jesus is going with this? How many times has something gotten planted into your soul, something small, almost without your being aware of it or even recognizing its potential within you? And yet here is this thing within you, this thing, the realm of God, the dwelling of God, this bit of God, if you will. Here is this thing within you. And it is not just there for itself. It is not just there for you. But it is waiting to grow. It's waiting to grow up so that it may also exist for others. For fruit, for shade, for shelter, for protection. As a place for life. A place where others might pause, rest, nest, and even raise a family in the shade and shelter of your branches. So on this day of fathers, reflect on the seeds left within you by your ancestors, by your parents. What have you grown with them? And on this Sabbath, reflect on the God seeds within you. Has the realm of God grown up within you? How big are your branches? What kind of fruit do you bear? Who do you protect, offer spiritual shelter to? Who is in need and who nests in your shade? And in this Pride Month, I ask the GLBTIQQ communities, and in that I include all that we are, all of our allies and chosen family. How have we grown? How have we grown through the early years, through the Mattachine Society, through chosen families, gay liberation, HIV, AIDS, marriage rights, trans rights, the struggles that we face today? Have we grown? Have we grown as a people? What kind of fruit do we bear and offer to the rest of the world? How big are our branches? And is there room for the trans and gender non-binary communities to nest in our limbs, to rest in our shade? And are there others that we, all of us together, can offer shelter to, can offer sanctuary to, in our spreading branches? Are we ready to reach out beyond ourselves, to touch, surround, encircle, shelter, and protect others who are not like ourselves? Can we do that? Can the realm of God within us grow up? And can we as a community of faith finally grow up? May it be so. Take a moment for community dialogue, sharing some of the thoughts that may have gotten stirred in your heart space here this morning. Taking a moment to hear what you have to say, even if it's just a single word. Raise your hand, please speak up, and please be brief.
My mother had a bracelet with a mustard seed encased in glass in it, and she would always quote me, "Have faith so much as a mustard seed." I like the line in the reading about an intelligent, hardworking farmer that can bring to fruition things. I am so glad I took care of my father. I really am, for all kinds of reasons. Oh, and I think we have grown. Oh, we have grown. We have a lot to offer.
We do. We have a long way to go. Meister Eckhart, by the way, who I got that quote from, a theologian that lived in the 1200s and 1300s, and he often teetered on the edge of heresy. But you know how I feel about heresy. Yes. I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts this morning. Also just sharing the space and sharing the silence in the space. I've heard it said that silence is the language of God and all else is a bad translation. So I welcome and invite silence. So now, if you'll rise as you're able and join together in our community song, "In the Bulb There Is a Flower," number 433.